Leviticus chapter 5 in your Bibles. I did a series called Enjoying the Journey through Exodus, and we went into the tabernacle in Leviticus, and I didn't get finished. We had the preachers in the church preach, and that takes about 8 weeks, so got away from this. Got one last message from it. Leviticus 5 and verse 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring his trespass unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering. And he shall make amends for the harm that he hath done in the holy thing, shall add the fifth part thereto and give it unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered to him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or hath found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, in any of these that a man doeth sinning therein, then it shall be because he hath sinned and is guilty that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the thing which he found, or all that about that which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it, even the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation, for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything and all that he hath done in trespassing therein. And look at chapter 7, verse 1. Likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is most holy. In the place where they kill the burnt offering, shall they kill the trespass offering, and the blood thereof shall he sprinkle round about upon the altar. And he shall offer of it all the fat thereof, the rump, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is on them, which is by the flanks, and the gall that is above the liver with the kidneys, he shall take away. The priest shall burn them upon the altar for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a trespass offering. Every male among the priests shall eat thereof, shall be eaten in the holy place, it is most holy. As the sin offering is, so is the trespass offering. There's one law for them. The priest that maketh atonement therewith shall have it. Now we're looking at the trespass offering, the final Levitical sacrifice that was required among the people. It's similar to the sin offering that we looked at the last time that I spoke. I spoke on these various offerings used in the tabernacle. And we saw there were five animals that were used: a bull, a lamb, a goat, turtle doves, and pigeons. And there was the special use of the ashes of the red heifer. That will be required for the restoration of the temple and the cleansing thereof, the ashes of the red heifer. We saw the five sacrificial offerings made in the tabernacle: the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and now we look at the trespass offering. We saw the Lord call for a freewill offering from his people to build a tabernacle. He asked of the people freely to give so that they could make purchases of the things they needed to build and establish the tabernacle itself and later the temple. Today we build a church, God's people freely give. We don't solicit from the unsaved. We don't have yard sales and fundraisers and all that sort of thing. It's God's people who give to build a house of God in the same way they did with the Old Testament tabernacle. In the tabernacle, they had the altar and the laver and the holy place. In it were the lampstand and the menorah, the light for it, the altar of incense, and the table of showbread. Then there was the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Within the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. Sometimes young Christians first get saved and haven't been schooled in the Bible, and they start hearing about these arks, and they get confused with Noah's Ark and the Ark of the Covenant. They're two different things. One was a big old gigantic barge boat that could hold all the animals of the earth, and the other is the Ark of the Covenant, which is not much bigger than this communion table down here. And some pretty confusion how the priests could carry the ark across the Jordan River, you know, if they're thinking about Noah's ark. So it's important that we learn these things. Just like the names in the New Testament, when you get to John, you know, you got several people by the name of John, several by the name of James, there's a couple by the name of Judas. And it's easy to get married. There's about five Marys, so it's real easy to get confused with those just casual reading, and you sort of have to keep up with who you're talking about. Now tonight we look at the symbolism of the trespass offering and how Christ fulfilled all of these in dying on the cross at Calvary. First of all, we compare the sin offering and the trespass offering. The sin offering dealt with sin against God. The trespass offering deals with sin against man and how that relates as a sin against God. The sin offering dealt with the nature of sin. The trespass offering emphasized the act of sin itself. The sin offering dealt with the guilt of the sinner. The trespass offering emphasizes the injury that's caused to God or the things of God in the temple or the tabernacle, or to a person, the injury that is caused to them. The sin offering dealt with atonement and the removal of guilt. And the trespass offering satisfied reparations that were to be made, paying back for what had been taken. On occasion, when things were stolen, they were to pay back up to four times what they had taken. And we've seen that applied a couple of times in the Scriptures. So the wrong that was committed required something before the Lord. The word trespass we're commonly familiar with. The word trespass means guilt, and the Hebrew word is the guilt of infringement or violating the rights of others. We see no trespassing signs. We know you're not supposed to get on that property. You're not supposed to trespass. You're not supposed to cross the line. You're not supposed to infringe upon what belongs to someone else. And the same is true with the word when it is used as a sin and when it is used as an offering before the Lord. The trespass of sin. There are three areas that required this. Sins committed against self. Telling a lie. Concealing truth. Back in chapter 5 of Leviticus in verse number 1. Not coming forward with evidence of a crime when one knows that is a sin. In the New Testament, James 4:17 says, "Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." We're not supposed to conceal a matter. We'd be honest. And to conceal sinful things is a sin in itself. To be guilty of contamination, secondly, touching a dead body or a leper, disqualified one for attending service, at least until the sun went down. If there was a violation in some family matter where a person would not redeem another family taken in a problem, they would take off their shoe and spit in his face. And if he spit in his face, he was unclean. He was not allowed to go to worship that day. And the trespass offering must be made to purify one from these things. Thirdly was careless and foolish talk, to make false vows, to swear unfaithfully in an oath before God. And these things required a confession, first of all. Verse number 5 said that they were to confess their sin and they were to confess it unto God. You'll remember that David, when he committed sin against Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite, her husband. And after he had gone through all he did in that, he wrote the Psalm 51, and in it he confessed his sins before God. In verse 4 he said, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and been clear when thou judgest." David understood he had sinned against God and that God was just in whatever punishment that David experienced as a result of it. So a trespass offering would be required to remove the guilt a person bore for the wrong that they had done. Thirdly, we have the sins committed against God in chapter 5 and verse 14 through 19. There are unintentional things, using things that were dedicated unto God in a wrong way, using the tithe for self, the first fruits not given, or the firstborn of an animal not redeemed. These belonged to the priest for his use and the tabernacle. They didn't belong to the individual. We must remember, just like ourselves today, when we give our tithe to the Lord, the tithe doesn't belong to us, it belongs to God. We're holding God's money when we use that for ourselves. And so a trespass offering would be required. The unintentional violation of God's commands. There are things we do quite often that we don't intend to do wrong, but we get caught up in the middle of something, and next thing you know, we've said something or we've done something that we know later on we feel guilty about, and we have to go to the Lord in prayer and confession and seek the face of God. There is no offering that was required or given for presumptuous, willful, disobedient sin. That is considered rebellion against God. When a person knows and willfully chooses to do something that is sinful anyway, they are rebelling against God, and God will harshly deal with that because there was no offering that was named to be offered for willful, disobedient sin or rebellion against God. As a matter of fact, he said rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and God looks harshly upon that as an abomination unto God. Now, there were also sins against men. We see in chapter 6 and verse 1 through 7 of Leviticus. There's five specific areas that are named in this passage. First of all, to lie to our neighbor over something in his care. To misappropriate money or land or boundaries or things of this nature. Secondly, dishonesty in fellowship, socially or in business with our brethren. Thirdly, the taking away of something violently by prestige or power or position. You remember the story of Ahab and Naboth's vineyard. Naboth had a beautiful vineyard that joined the palace of the king. And the king looked at it and coveted it, and he wanted it, and he tried to buy it from Naboth. But Naboth said, "I cannot sell it to you. I would mar my inheritance. God has divided the land. They were never to sell the land. They could lend it out or lease it until the year of Jubilee, every 50th year when it would go back to the owner. But they could never sell it. They had to keep it within their, to be passed down to their tribal group, and it was to stay in their hands in this way. And so Ahab tried to force him, and Ahab pouted. He went and laid down on his bed and sucked his thumb, you know, and got his lip run out. And his wife said, "You're the king. If you want it, take it." You know, so she had Naboth killed and took his vineyard and gave it unto the king. And God said their dogs would lick her blood, you know, as a result of that. And of course they did. Both of them. The dogs licked the blood where they ran the blood out of the chariot after he was shot in the chariot. A man drew a bow at a venture, you know, just shot air up in the air and caught him right between the harnesses, and he died in the chariot, and they washed his blood out, and the dogs licked the blood. And she was rebellious and stuck her head out the window. And Jehu said, "Who's on the Lord's side? Throw her down." And eunuchs up there threw her out of the window. And they trampled upon her. And the dogs ate everything but her hands and her skull, you know. And there's a whole lot of jokes made about that. That she had too much makeup on her face. The dogs wouldn't eat that, you know, or something. I don't know. But the blood on her hands, they wouldn't eat that either, you know. And fourthly, to deceive your neighbor, extortion or withholding what is rightfully theirs. And then number five, finding what another person has lost and keeping it and lying to cover up the deception. These are deliberate sins, and these are things that required a trespass offering. Christians cannot have a true walk with God and defraud their neighbor. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul dealt with believers at Corinth defrauding one another, taking one another to court, suing one another so they might defraud them. Now, this was not to allow the court to discern a judgment of a boundary. It was not a judgment to discern who was liable in a fault. It was intentional to defraud one another that they were going to court over. And that is what was condemned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, not to defraud their neighbor. To do so is to sin against God and required a trespass offering. You remember the prodigal son confessed he had sinned against heaven and in thy sight. He recognized his sin against God and against his father, and he was unworthy. But he went back humbly, and the father was ready to forgive him and restore him. And my friends, that's the way God deals with us. It is us that are trying to hide our sin. It is us that guilt has beat us down. It is us that doesn't want to face God with what we've done wrong. The Father is always waiting for us to come and confess our sin, and He'll forgive us of our sin and cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. David confessed he had sinned against God, and against God only had he sinned. Now, that only business, you know, trips me up a little bit, because David sinned against Uriah, he sinned against Bathsheba, he sinned against all the people. But he recognized that sin ultimately is always a sin against God. God who's merciful, God who is gracious to us, and when we sin, we violate His commands. Number four, the trespass offering is based on their ability. Like all these offerings, God made a way so a person, no matter of their level of ability, could find a way to make the trespass offering. They had the female sheep or lamb or a goat or the turtle doves or the pigeons. Chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, they were to first confess their sin before God. Then they were to place their hands upon the substitute that was to be offered. Now, they couldn't place their hands upon the substitute of a bird, and so that was not required. Or the ephah of flour. For those in poverty, they could offer an ephah of flour as their offering. God always makes a way for the rich and the poor. You know, God made a way that if we tithe, it is based on a 10% basis. The poor can give a tithe just as easy as maybe easier than the rich can give a tithe. Because it is different with every person. It is based on what you make, not how much you have or what you own, but it's based upon what you earn. And so a kid that gets a dollar a week allowance can give a dime to the Lord. He's tithed. He's done the same thing as a person that makes $1,000 a week and gives $100. God made it equal for us all on that basis. And so the rich and the poor can obtain forgiveness of their sins. Now, God's made the way for all of us who are saved to find forgiveness of our sins by confessing our sin through Christ. Verse 15, the sin against God with the sin of the holy things required a ram without blemish from the flock. In chapter 5, verse 18, he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning the ignorance wherein he erred, and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. So the ram had to be without blemish of the flock. And we know, of course, Christ is the Lamb of God that's without spot and without blemish that takes away the sin of the world. lay hands on him, confess the sin, and present the ram to the priest. The priest would slay it in the same way of any other animal sacrifice that was made at the altar. The blood was put on the altar, and the fat thereof was burned, and then the animal itself was given to the priest to eat. They caught the blood, sprinkled it, chapter 7, verse 2. The kidneys and the fat and the rump were burned, chapter 7, verse 3 and 4. And the rest of the ram was for the priest to eat. Now restitution was also to be made in the trespass offerings. It was required when one sinned against a man that he made restitution. Isaiah 53 and verse 10, Isaiah used Christ as the trespass offering for us. He paid our debt. He satisfied God totally, proven by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And the ram was the type of him without blemish and was the substitute for the person themselves. Christ substituted himself for us and he paid our debt. Matthew 20, 28, Christ gave his life a ransom for many. He died in our place. He died a ransom, and a ransom is to pay the satisfaction to the Father. He offered himself as payment for our sins. 1 Peter 3:18 says he suffered on our behalf. As God provided a ram for Isaac, Christ is the ram provided for us, the sinless substitute who died in our place. He became a man to qualify as our representative to be the one perfect sacrifice who could pay for man's sin. Then restitution. They were to assess the value of the ram and add the fifth part to what had been withheld. You remember the story of Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he? Luke 19. Zacchaeus climbed up in a tree so he could see the Lord. And Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And when Jesus came to his house, he said, I will pay four times anything that I have taken from men in taxation and restitution, and I will give half my goods unto the poor. I think he was sincere about his repentance, genuinely showing the wrong he had done. And he considered his trespass on man a theft and paid it back four times. You might look at Exodus 22 and verse number 1 if you'd like on that restitution. I wonder if there's somebody we need to make restitution to. Somebody we need to consider that we have trespassed against. Certainly we trespassed against God and we need His forgiveness. And Christ died to make the possible way for all of us to obtain forgiveness and satisfaction of our sins. Not year by year by year, but once for all, Christ died to wash away sin forever and forever. But do we owe God something? Do we owe men something? You can accidentally borrow something from somebody and forget to take it back. And then you feel guilty about it every time you see them. So you know what you'll do? You'll avoid seeing them. I have many people who've sinned against me. And I'm sure I've sinned against many people, but I've had people who've talked dirty about me and done me dirty as a church pastor. I go into Walmart and they'll go down an aisle over there to avoid seeing me, you know, and try to avoid making contact with me. Y'all know I still got a little devil in me. When I can, I'll go over and get in that aisle intentionally, you know, so they got to face me, you know. Oh, hey, brother, how you doing, you know? Nice to see you again. And I want to heap coals of fire on their head. I want to pray for them. I want to do good to them. I don't want to do bad to them. I tell you, God knows everything about me. And I'm glad the sheriff don't know as much about me as the Lord does. And we all need forgiveness. Thank God He's made a way that we can be forgiven. And I'm glad we don't have to take lambs and goats and go through all these processes and things to make these offerings and these sacrifices. It was God's mercy to provide those for Israel before Christ died on the cross. And now we don't have to offer them because we look back to the cross and what Christ did for us, paying for sin forever. Let's stand. Father, I thank you for the faithfulness of your people being here tonight, for this little singspiration that we enjoyed tonight, singing these old favorite hymns and songs with spiritual blessings. I saw that one of those was written by W.R. Newell. I have a couple of commentaries in my library by him. He was a professor of Romans of the Bible, and he wrote a commentary on Hebrews, and I've used them in my studies and preparation of sermons through the years, and this great hymn that we sing. Lord, the truths that are in these, that have the scriptural truths and principles and Scripture themselves that teach forgiveness of sins and praise unto God and the exalting of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to recognize, Lord, that we are all sinners who've been saved by the grace of God. May we truly seek not to trespass, not to commit sin, but we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He's paid the price and made full satisfaction for our sins with you, Father. And He ever lives to make intercession on our behalf. Thank you for what you've provided. We offer our praise in Jesus' name. Amen.